Live from the Christian Research Institute in Charlotte, North Carolina, this is the Bible Answer Man with Hank Hanegraaff. To join us on the air, just dial toll-free 1-888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. To find out more about the Christian Research Institute and the Bible Answer Man broadcast, just log on to our website at equip.org. Now, here's the host of the Bible Answer Man, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. In just a few moments, I'm going to be speaking with Joe Dallas about some very pertinent information that is now circulating in the news. But I want to say just a few things about my book, Afterlife. First, a brand new book available for your gift to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute. One of the questions that I address is, where is heaven? Is it up there somewhere? Is it a place made of jasper with pearly gates and streets of pure gold? Heavens no. The language, of course, is a heavenly condescension to our earthly inadequacies. Revelation's descriptions, the Bible's descriptions as a whole, are not intended to communicate what heaven looks like any more than hair white like wool as white as snow is intended to tell us what Jesus looks like. Rather, these kinds of descriptions are intended to communicate what heaven is like. As with the golden bowls full of incense, which represents the prayers of the saints, the golden lampstands, the churches, the fine linen, righteous acts of the saints, so the metaphors describing the heavenly city magnify a far more majestic and glorious reality, a reality far grander than a 1,400 cubic mile Jerusalem constructed of jewels and jasper. No, heaven involves our earth, these fields, these mountains, these rivers, our space, united as one with the glory of God. It's God's sacred space and our purified place, a glorious whole for the Lord Himself, as Scripture says, will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God. Again, Afterlife, what you need to know about heaven, the hereafter, and near-death experiences, my brand new book. It's available only for our constituency throughout this month, and then it'll be available in bookstores everywhere. You can get your copy for your gift on the World Wide Web at equip.org. When you write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And when you talk to our resource consultants at 888-7000-CRI, we are privileged to have Joe Dallas with us on the broadcast for a few moments today. He is the program director of Genesis Counseling in Tustin, California. He's a Christian who is involved in a Christian counseling service to men who are dealing with sexual relational problems. He is the past president of Exodus International, and he is the author of many books. One of my favorites, titled The Game Plan, which we feature at the Christian Research Institute. It's the men's 30-day strategy for attaining sexual integrity. Joe, it's good to have you on the broadcast.
How you doing, Hank?
I'm doing great, and I wanted to talk to you about something that I perceived you to say, predict as it were, not all that long ago on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. You were talking about how the current phenomenon of homosexuality was being mainstreamed in the culture, and that as a direct result of that, you saw a slippery slope that might well lead towards pedophilia being accepted as common practice and not being all that bad after all. And I thought about you as I was reading the LA Times and the Orange County Register and various other newspapers, including the Charlotte Observer, in which Alan Zirumbo was quoted as talking about experts who now view pedophilia as a sexual orientation as immutable as heterosexuality or homosexuality. The bottom line, he says, according to the experts, is that pedophilia has biological roots, and if that is the case, who can say that pedophilia is wrong?
Well, Hank, years ago, I wrote in my book, The Gay Gospel, which over the years you've been kind enough to endorse, that the normalization of homosexuality involved a new line of thinking, and that it was this line of thinking that would pave the way to the legitimization of pedophilia. And indeed, I think that's a trend we are seeing more clearly than ever. I first wrote about this 16, 17 years ago, back in 1996. But the point I made is similar to some of the points you just raised. I was saying at that time that homosexuals are not interested in children, and I stand behind that. They are not. I do not think it would be fair to say that the average homosexual in any way endorses sex between adults and children. But the way we as a culture came to legitimize homosexuality set a pattern in place that is now being repeated in an attempt to legitimize pedophilia. The experts are being called in, and they are saying that pedophilia, that is, a sexual desire for children, is an orientation. It is very likely an inborn orientation. It is an involuntary orientation. That is to say, the person who feels those desires did not choose those desires, and it is immutable. Treatment doesn't change the pattern of feelings, and therefore, it ought to be, according to some experts now, legitimized. Now, Hank, these are all the same arguments we heard for the legitimization of homosexuality back in the early 1970s. And I want to reiterate, I am not suggesting that homosexual people are glad to see the legitimization of pedophilia. I, as you know, was a part of the gay community back in the late 1970s and early 1980s. And at that time, I felt very differently about the issue than I do now. I believed homosexuality was legitimate. But I never met one adult homosexual man or lesbian woman who in any way approved of sexual relationships between adult and children. And yet, the same format that was used to legitimize homosexuality is in fact now being used to legitimize pedophilia.
I want to take just a moment, Joe, and get your reaction here to what I just did before the broadcast. I used the Google search engine, and I typed in what's wrong with pedophilia. And the very first article that came up was a 2000 article by philosopher Robert Eamon. It's titled, What Really Is Wrong with Pedophilia? And in this article, the philosopher says the radically negative attitudes towards pedophilia in our society are perhaps the final bastion of Puritan sexual ethics. And then he calls into question the assumption that pedophilia is psychologically harmful to children, and he questions the argument that since children cannot validly consent to sex, sex with children is a violation of their rights. And likewise, he argues that if an adult who wants to have sex with a child has good reason to believe that when the child in question becomes an adult, he or she would give retrospective consent, then pedophilic sex could be morally justifiable.
Oh, now we really are in the Twilight Zone. I mean, how on earth is an adult pedophile going to accurately predict that the child he is molesting will someday give retroactive permission? That's astounding.
It is astounding. And going on with the Google search engine, I think this was number two or three, was an entry from Yahoo Answers, is there something wrong with being a pedophile? And then these guys that are pedophiles, it says, what is wrong with that? So if that's the way they are, what's wrong with that? Is it wrong that a gay guy is gay? Is it wrong that a kid likes chocolate milk? Is it wrong that a person likes a certain type of music?
Well, Hank, again, I don't want to be unfair to homosexuals, although there is no question in my mind that God never intended homosexuality and that the Bible clearly condemns that behavior. Nonetheless, I think it's important not to bear false witness. I will not implicate homosexuals in child molestation. By and large, adult homosexuals are not interested in children. But having said that, I need to point out, again, the same arguments that were used to legitimize homosexuality are now being used to legitimize pedophilia. And these arguments by the experts, in my opinion, Hank, override a certain common sense that we have. Way back in the late 60s, early 70s, when the gay rights movement first started seeking to legitimize homosexuality, I believe that the majority of people thought, oh, even though the experts are saying there's nothing wrong with this, everything in me says, hey, wait a minute, the way human anatomy is put together, we are clearly meant to mate male to female, not male to male or female to female. That was just a sort of a common sense reaction to this that was overridden by the experts. Now today, everything in our sensibilities screams out against the idea of sexual relations between adults and children. Everything in us says no, the child is to be protected. The child is in no position at that age to be giving anything close to informed consent. The child's body is not prepared for that kind of behavior, and the child's emotional makeup is not prepared for that kind of behavior. See, everything in our common sense tells us that, but now we've got some, and actually many, PhDs coming along saying, hey, people, we are the experts, and we are saying that we don't see what verifiable damage is done by child-adult sex. And again, Hank, this is the same approach that we saw utilized over 40 years ago.
Of course, the Super Bowl is now in the news. It's going to be contended on Sunday, 49ers, Ravens. Front page in today's USA Today sports section, Chris Culliver of the 49ers faced the media Thursday after making homophobic comments earlier in the week. What he said was, quote, ain't no gay people on the team. They got to get up out of here if they do. Can't be with that sweet stuff. And then he issued an apology, of course, and the 49ers themselves as a team issued a statement denouncing this position, and Culliver apparently had learned a lesson as he apologized during his mob scene news media session. And then the players weighed in. Terrell Suggs, for example, a Ravens linebacker, said on this team, he's a 49ers linebacker, on this team with so many different personalities, we just accept people for who they are. We don't really care too much about a person's sexuality. Whatever you are, and we'll accept you for it. And then Frank Gore, of course, the famous running back for the 49ers, went even further. He said, it doesn't bother me. Whatever they are, that's their business. As long as they can help us win football games, I'm fine with it. And Jared Bell, who wrote the article, says, he includes the article by saying, that is exactly the way it should be. Your comments.
On the one hand, I'm reminded of what Paul told the Romans, as much as it is possible, as much as lieth within you, live at peace with all men. That is to say, try to get along. Be respectful, be courteous, recognize that there are many different viewpoints out there, but he never said compromise the truth to accommodate those many different viewpoints. And so on the one hand, I can appreciate people saying, hey, we accept people as they are, and we are not interested in singling anybody out for mistreatment. But the clear implication I'm getting, at least, Hank, by these statements, is that if you hold to the viewpoint that we are created male or female and that we are meant to bond sexually as heterosexuals, and that anything short of that is less than our Creator's intention. If you hold that viewpoint, you are somehow archaic or bigoted. And that's my objection to the general tone of this. You'll notice that as a culture, Hank, we are experiencing a real heavy-handedness when it comes to speech on this issue. I'm sure you noticed that Pastor Giglio was disinvited from offering a benediction at the president's inaugural event because he is on record as having stated homosexuality is immoral. And I think that we are seeing a growing backlash against people who hold the traditional viewpoint.
I'm going to hold Joe over for just a few moments. We'll be back with Joe Dallas. I have a question about the Boy Scouts of America on the other side of the break, and then we'll take your calls. All that coming up in just a few moments.
The fact that many non-scientists have taken the recent empirical confirmation of the existence of the Higgs boson as a disproof of God can be written off to ignorance. But when scientists who must know better publicly express the same view, it seems something more culpable than ignorance is at work. Find out how the discovery of the Higgs boson, also known as the God particle, in fact contributes greatly to the explanatory power of theism over naturalism in the latest edition of the Christian Research Journal. Subscribe online at equip.org or call CRI at 888-7000-274. The Bible Answer Man broadcast will return in just a few moments. Dr. Eben Alexander's wildly popular near-death experience book, Proof of Heaven, assures us that no matter what we do in this life, only unconditional love and joy await us in the world to come. But our Lord warned that while the gate to hell is wide, the road to it broad, and those who enter through it are many, the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Your generous support lets Hank Hanegraaff and CRI speak out against the lies that lead to hell. In appreciation for your gift today, we'll rush you Hank's book, Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences, filled with answers to your questions about life after death. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. Again, that's equip.org. Are you the product of millions of years of unguided, purposeless, natural processes? Or are you created in the image of a loving God? Faced with the overwhelming scorn of evolutionary proselytizers, it can be hard to articulate the truth about God's creative work. And even among faithful Christians, many misconceptions linger. The Creation Answer Book by Hank Hanegraaff puts answers to the most hotly debated origins questions right at your fingertips, giving you clarity and understanding. Learn to articulate the truth about our origins clearly and compassionately when you request your copy of the Creation Answer Book. Now the Creation Answer Book is available in an unabridged audiobook format. So order your copy of the Creation Answer Book on audio CD today by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what you'll find in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Director Peter Jackson is making not one, but three films based on The Hobbit, J.R.R. Tolkien's classic prequel to The Lord of the Rings. If, as Tolkien's son Christopher accuses, Jackson is commercializing the story, it would reek with irony, because The Hobbit is above all a story about greed and the overcoming of greed. Other topics include the troubling truth about Bonhoeffer's theology, Prometheus, finding God in outer space, communicating truth through humor, ridicule, and emotions, the popular Ask Hank column, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. Our culture's fascination with ghosts and near-death experiences shows that millions of people long to know more about their eternal future, but most are looking for answers in the wrong places. Your support helps CRI share the Bible's truth about life, death, and eternity. And to thank you for your gift of ministry support today, we'll send you a copy of Hank's exciting new book, Afterlife: What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now to give your gift and request your copy of Afterlife. Now, here's Hank Hanegraaff with more of the answers you need today.
Thank you very much, Randy. And we're spending just a few moments with Joe Dallas. He is the program director of Genesis Counseling in Tustin, California, and a great Christian author. One of my favorite books, although we feature all of his books on the World Wide Web at equip.org, is a book called The Game Plan. Of course, countless men's lives are being ruined by sexual sin. It infects, it corrupts, it devastates, it destroys relationships and families and lives, and everywhere men turn, sexual temptation is rearing its ugly head. And of course, the internet has made it easier than ever to get caught up in the trap of sexual sin. And no one understands this subject better than Joe Dallas, and nowhere is there a more biblical and user-friendly game plan for Christian men committed to reclaiming moral purity than the game plan, the men's 30-day strategy for attaining sexual integrity. Again, you can find it on the World Wide Web at equip.org. And Joe, just before the break, I mentioned the Boy Scouts of America. There's a report this week in the news that the board of the Boy Scouts of America is considering a policy change that will reverse its decades-old ban on gay scouts and leaders. And so many scouts are, and scout troops are involved with churches. And so I wanted to get your perspective on this. How do churches and how do Christians grapple with this issue in a way that models the love of Jesus Christ and the perspective of biblical worldview?
Well, Hank, there is nothing unloving about holding a position. What determines the love or lack thereof is not the position, but the attitude with which it's held. So I see nothing unloving about saying we have a creator, our creator has specific intentions for his creation, and those intentions spelled out in the inspired document, the Bible, also spell out his intentions for our personal relationships, family relationships, sexual relationships, and according to that inspired document, homosexuality falls short. We can maintain that position, and frankly, I am very disappointed that the Boy Scouts of America is reconsidering that position. I have deeply respected their willingness to be steadfast in the face of cultural opposition. I am glad at least that they are for now saying that local chapters will have the discretionary power to decide whether or not to allow openly gay leaders in scouting. But again, it is a disappointment. It's a caving in, I think, to cultural pressure, and I am sad to hear about this.
I was reading in the newspaper an article on this. It was titled, "Ex-Scoutmaster Says About Time." And then it says, for at least one Connecticut troop, inclusive scouting has taken far too long. And the former scoutmaster says this, barring gay leaders kind of accuses them of being pedophiles, which they are not. There's plenty of good gay men that would be good leaders. Your comments on that?
I have never felt that the Boy Scouts were claiming that homosexuals are pedophiles. I was never of the opinion that the Boy Scouts' position was based on a fear of openly gay leaders molesting the Scouts. It has more been about the standards and values of the Scouts themselves. The Scouts have held to a Judeo-Christian-based principle for the human sexual union, that union was meant to be a permanent monogamous union between a man and a woman, and to have leaders modeling something less than that would be akin to having leaders model something less than what the scouts stand for. So I think it's a bit of a red herring to throw in the pedophilia argument and say that since gays don't molest children, the scouts should allow openly gay leaders, because I don't think that's the issue. The issue is whether or not homosexuality represents the morals and fundamental beliefs that the scouts stand for, and traditionally it has not.
Why are we as Christians fighting a losing battle, as it were, in our culture, when, as you pointed out earlier, homosexuality requires a person to contradict their own biology as though God has played some kind of a cruel joke on them by creating their minds and emotions for attraction to same-sex sexuality, and yet creating their bodies in direct opposition to that attraction? I mean, it seems like certain things are self-evident, and yet we, as Christians, are failing in being change agents in the culture, whereas the homosexual lobby has done a very good job of having their position heard. And now to have a contrary position seems not only homophobic, as it's typically labeled, but it seems just out of date.
Yeah, but you know, Hank, I personally can't assume that if the church is not persuading the culture of something, that the church is thereby somehow falling short. The reality is, in this fallen world, it is often true that cultural voices will prevail over Christian voices, because cultural voices are speaking the language and ethics of the world. Now, in our culture in particular, in the United States, Hank, there was a time when the church and the culture were pretty much on the same page on this issue. That is not to say the culture was Christian, but the culture did essentially hold to traditional Judeo-Christian viewpoints when it came to human sexuality. The sanctity of marriage, monogamy, the heterosexual standard of being the norm, and so forth. Now, the cultural drifted quite a ways in the last few decades to a more humanist-centered philosophy rather than a Judeo-Christian-based philosophy, and now the culture is pressuring the church to join it in that particular drift, and sadly, some in the church are going along with it. I'm grateful to say many are not. Having said all that, because I don't automatically blame the church if the church is not convincing the culture, I do think we've fallen short, first in modeling biblical principles in our own private lives. You mentioned my book, The Game Plan. Well, Hank, it's a shame such a book ever had to be written, because it is written for Christian men who have fallen short in the area of sexual integrity. And sadly, the statistics are there to show that a completely unacceptably high percentage of Christian men are looking at internet pornography, are involved in sex before marriage or adulterous behaviors or the use of prostitutes. And so long as there is that kind of moral compromise within the church, I don't believe the church can have the impact that she is meant to have. Secondly, I do think many Christian leaders and many Christian lay people have been guilty of not only an objection to homosexuality, but an unbiblical contempt for homosexual people themselves. And so I think the record will show that there are times many of us have spoken very irresponsibly on this issue and resulted to slurs and stereotypes and, I'd have to say, an open contempt. Hmm. And so I think that also has now eroded our credibility on the subject. So I do think we need to work harder, first, on living out the principles and standards that Scripture has laid out for Christian men and women regarding our own sexual expressions, and then in being more balanced, both compassionate and truthful, when we speak on these issues. And I think where we can improve, we should improve, all the while remembering, just as with the parable of the sower, the responsibility is to sow responsibly. The results are in God's hands.
the rightness or the wrongness of a behavior such as homosexuality is not determined, it seems you're saying, by the character of the person, but by that thing itself.
That's an important point, Hank, because the same argument that was used 40 years ago to legitimize homosexuality is now being used to legitimize pedophilia. And that argument is essentially, if a person is in most areas a respectable person of reasonably good character, then that legitimizes the way that person expresses himself sexually. And so 40 years ago, many were arguing that, hey, homosexual men and women are largely high-functioning people who contribute very significantly to our culture and to our lives. Well, hey, I'd be the first to go along with that, Hank. I fully agree. The question becomes, does the good character of a person in nine areas of life legitimize that tenth area that is outside God's will? And of course, the answer is no.
And we have to, as you point out, model the love of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, recognizing our own inadequacies, and do so with meekness and reverence, not engaging in a we-they siege mentality against those who are involved in behaviors that the Bible calls out as being those kinds of behaviors that are hurtful not only to a person individually, but to society as a whole.
Yes, and I think we see this modeled in the New Testament. Paul, both in his sermons in the book of Acts and certainly in his epistles, on the one hand, was uncompromising when it came to sexual morality. He saw the importance of sexual purity. He saw the importance of the protection of the marital bond and the protection of children and the protection of a normal standard. But by the same token, he did not speak unnecessarily disparagingly of people who fell short of those standards. He spoke truth clearly, without insult, but without compromise. And we can do the same.
Joe, if you'll hang on, I want to take a couple of questions with you on the other side of the break. I have Joe from Philadelphia who wants to ask you a question. He's involved with the Boy Scouts, so we'll pick that up on the other side of the break if you'll stick with me for just a few moments. Can you do that?
I'd be glad to, Hank.
And we are coming up to station break. Do want to remind everyone that we now have many different ways in which you can listen, learn, and defend the faith, more ways than ever, as a matter of fact, including an Equip iPhone app. You can download that app for free on the World Wide Web at equip.org/app. Again, check it out on the World Wide Web at equip.org. And a reminder that all this month for your gift to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute, we'll send you Afterlife, my brand new book. It's not even in bookstores yet. And this exclusive offer, only available to CRI listeners, is also available with an e-book download for your mobile device or PC. It will come free of charge, so you can start reading right away. Again, you can check all of this out on the World Wide Web at equip.org. You can call me at 888-7000 CRI, where resource consultants are standing by. You can also write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. We'll be right back in just a few moments with some answers to your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast.
As an organ of the Christian Research Institute, the Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the Journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. The Bible Answer Man with Hank Hanegraaff will return in a moment. Dr. Eben Alexander's wildly popular near-death experience book, Proof of Heaven, assures us that no matter what we do in this life, only unconditional love and joy await us in the world to come. But our Lord warned that while the gate to hell is wide, the road to it broad, and those who enter through it are many, the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Your generous support lets Hank Hanegraaff and CRI speak out against the lies that lead to hell. In appreciation for your gift today, we'll rush you Hank's book, Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences, filled with answers to your questions about life after death. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. Again, that's equip.org. Are you the product of millions of years of unguided, purposeless, natural processes? Or are you created in the image of a loving God? Faced with the overwhelming scorn of evolutionary proselytizers, it can be hard to articulate the truth about God's creative work. And even among faithful Christians, many misconceptions linger. The Creation Answer Book by Hank Hanegraaff puts answers to the most hotly debated origins questions right at your fingertips, giving you clarity and understanding. Learn to articulate the truth about our origins clearly and compassionately when you request your copy of the Creation Answer Book. Now the Creation Answer Book is available in an unabridged audiobook format. So order your copy of the Creation Answer Book on audio CD today by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what you'll find in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Recent New Testament translations intended for Muslims avoid familial language for the Trinity, such as Father and Only Begotten Son. Wycliffe and other mission field Bible translators worry that such terms scandalize Muslim readers, so they've produced Muslim idiom translations that avoid such renderings. But such compromise in translation is neither warranted nor wise. Other topics include A Thief in the Night, the Christian ethic at the heart of The Hobbit, Can Cloud Atlas Give True Hope for a Better World, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. If heaven is for real, who gets to go there? What happens to those who have never heard of Jesus? Is hell for real? In Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences, Hank tackles these and other questions about your eternal future with his no-nonsense biblical answers. Afterlife is our thank you when you support CRI's broadcast and other outreaches today. Request your copy with your gift by visiting equip.org or calling 888-7000-CRI. And thank you for making more ministry possible. Now here's more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast with your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Talking to Joe Dallas as a result of homosexuality being front and center in the news. The Super Bowl has been consumed with this subject ever since Chris Gulliver, or Culliver, the 49ers cornerback, said ain't no gay people on the team. They got to get out of here. If they do, can't be with that sweet stuff. And then he issued a statement denouncing his position and said he'd learned a lesson. He apologized and so forth. And then Ray Lewis, the famous Ravens linebacker, when asked if players would accept an openly gay teammate, said, I don't know, man. You're asking me to deal with world issues. That's a world issue, not a locker room issue. That's an issue I don't even want to touch. And so this has been kind of what people think in general. I mean, it's a very hot potato kind of an issue. You touch it, you're bound to get in trouble one way or the other. You got to be very careful that you speak correctly. If you misstep, the wrath of the LGBT community will come down on you for certain. And Joe, I think you point out that there's a certain justification for that, because there has been this we-they siege mentality, as it were, between Christians and those in the homosexual community. It's as though we're saying it's us against them, but that's not really how it ought to be.
No, and biblically, we don't see that kind of a mentality. We see in Scripture the command to be clear and compassionate. And so we can speak truth as ambassadors for Christ. To non-believers, our primary goal is to preach the gospel, to see them born again and saved. But we also have the secondary goal of expressing God's heart and mind on critical issues, like abortion, like racial discrimination, and like homosexuality. And so we cannot shy away from expressing clearly God's mind is revealed in Scripture on these issues, but we can do it without resorting to sarcastic descriptive statements like "that's sweet stuff," as the man said, and so forth. So there is a difference between objecting to homosexuality on moral grounds and simply having contempt for homosexual people. One is right and biblical, the other is not.
I want to go to the phone lines and give Joe an opportunity to speak to you. He's listening in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania on Sirius XM 131. Joe, you're on with Joe Dallas.
Hi, good evening, Hank. Good evening, Joe. Hank, I just wanted to say what a blessing your program has been to me personally over the years. You've answered so many questions I've had, and you've been just such a blessing in my life. But the reason I called in this evening was I've been involved with the Boy Scouts since my son has been involved in scouting for the better part of 10 years. And in the last 5 years, I've taken on a position as a volunteer, as a commissioner within the council. And so I oversee Boy Scout troops and PACs in a particular area. I have about 15 different groups I work with. And since the announcement, since the discussion has occurred about national allowing or at least recognizing homosexuals in scouting, it's created quite a buzz amongst Christians. And a lot of Christian men I know are very concerned, and a lot of them are considering leaving Scouts. But that was my initial opinion as well. Maybe I should just get away from this program because it's going to change for the worse. But now listening, praying on it, and then listening to Joe this evening, I think, you know, maybe the approach is wrong. Maybe the approach should be that we remain in our positions, you know, and use this as an opportunity to witness to young men.
Well, Joe, God bless you for your concern and what you already obviously are doing for so many boys and young men. I think this is going to wind up being somewhat like the dilemma Christian public school teachers have had. As the public school system has gone more and more in a direction that's sometimes downright hostile to Christianity, many public school teachers have really felt in good conscience they needed to resign their post and go into private teaching. Others have felt just as strongly that they need to stay there and be salt and light as they are able. And I think the Scouts, or I should say Christians in the Scouts, are facing the same thing. I think some of you guys in leadership are going to feel like you can no longer in good conscience support that organization, and you're going to feel the need to withdraw. I see nothing wrong with that. Others are going to feel just as strongly called to stay and to exert influence when and where they can as much as they are able, and God bless them as well. So I, from where I'm sitting, I don't really see a right or wrong position to take on that. I think some of you will feel compelled to leave, some will feel all the more convinced to stay, And I don't really see one being superior to the other.
Thank you for your call, Joe. I want to go back to the phone lines, talk to Brian, Seattle, Washington, KCIS. Hi, Brian.
Hi, Hank. I've been listening to you for years, and I really appreciate your ministry and the fact that you say that bad theology isn't a victimless crime. And what I'm wondering, I live up here in the Northwest, just outside of Seattle, People's Republic of Seattle. And my question is, why do the pastors, especially in my area, seem to be afraid to speak out on the tough issues like abortion and homosexuality? Is it, I thought maybe, well, it's the 501. They're afraid of losing the money from the tax-exempt status. But I'd like to hear your take on that.
Joe, what do you think?
Brian, I think you're at least partially right. I honestly think some pastors and Christian leaders are afraid of losing their nonprofit religious-exempt status over this. And we may well see a time that in Canada, and I believe in other countries, there are some organizations who deal with this from a biblical perspective who are having their nonprofit status revoked. And so that is a realistic fear. I don't think it's going to happen tomorrow, but I think it could happen in America. I don't think it is legitimate to shy away from speaking the truth just because we may lose our religious exemptions. But I do think it makes it problematic. Of course it does. So I think that's one reason. I think another is that there is a growing error in the church, and it is an error that seems to promote the idea that we should try to cause people to feel good about us or to like us and not introduce a subject that divides people, and so that we should soft-pedal certain divisive issues like homosexuality or abortion, or for that matter, the divinity of Christ or the existence of hell. And we are seeing too many Christian leaders soft-pedaling those particular doctrines out of a fear of offending, based on the idea that if people like us and we get along, that somehow means we have reached them. And that is not true.
Oh, good answer. I want to go back to the phone lines, talk to Victor, Bayside, New York, Sirius XM 131. Hi, Victor. You're on with Joe Dallas.
How you doing? How are you? Good evening.
Good evening.
My question is, what you guys take on other church groups who actually ordain homosexual priests or pastors? You hear me?
Well, Victor, I think they're in serious error, of course. If homosexuality is a sin of a sexual nature, and it is, and if sexual sin is particularly described in Scripture as being serious and disqualifying one from leadership, and it is, then it makes no sense from a biblical perspective to ordain someone who is practicing that sin. So I think that when a church reaches the point where it not only legitimizes a sexual sin, but ordains someone who is practicing that sin, it's hard not to say Ichabod, the Lord's departed. It's a very serious matter.
Thank you so much, Joe. And Joe, we always appreciate you coming on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Your wisdom in this area is much needed. We appreciate your integrity, your stand for truth, and the fact that you've equipped yourself to be able to communicate that stand so articulately. You are an example to many of us.
Thanks so much, Hank. Thanks for the encouragement, and thank you for having me.
Thanks for coming on such short notice as well. Joe Dallas, again, one of my favorite books written by Joe Dallas is The Game Plan. I wrote an endorsement for the book, The Men's 30-Day Strategy for Attaining Sexual Integrity. Again, my thanks to Joe Dallas. Short notice, I was thinking about this today. I thought, it's front and center in the news. Because of the Super Bowl, we need to have Joe on to give us his insights on this issue, and I think he's done just that. A lot of you have been hanging on for the last hour, and you want to ask questions on a variety of things, and for that reason, I haven't been able to get to you. I'm going to stay in studio for an extra hour today. I'll take your calls right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast for the following hour. So again, I'll be here for the next hour, continue taking your calls. So if you're hanging on, I'll get to you as quickly as we can in the next hour. We'll reserve the entire hour to taking your calls, answering your questions. The number to dial if you want your question answered during the next hour, 888-ASK-HANK, translates to 888-275-4265. And again, my thanks for those who so patiently hung on during the entire hour. I didn't expect to do the broadcast in the way that we did the broadcast today, but I thought it was an important subject since it, again, is front and center in the news. Again, want to mention as we close out the broadcast today, my book, Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences is now available. We were designed to live forever, and like a caterpillar's transformation into a glorious butterfly, you and I will experience metamorphosis one day. That is a certainty. And as a caterpillar emerges from its chrysalis, or its coffin, as it were, we will emerge from graves in real, physical, flesh and bone bodies, perfectly engineered for a new heaven and a new earth. Like the butterfly, we will experience what the caterpillar could not. In Eden restored, our bodies, our souls will fly full and free, unfettered by the curse of sin and selfishness. And if that is true, we should understand what afterlife is all about. Because if we do, we, like Joe Dallas, who I was just talking to, are going to live not for political correctness or popularity or prosperity, but we're going to live for eternal verities. We're going to set our sights above, not just set our sights below. Again, the book available for your gift to the ministry. Check it out on the World Wide Web at equip.org. And I'll be here for the next hour. The number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK. Thanks for tuning in.
We appreciate you tuning in to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. If you've been blessed by the broadcast and want more information to help you grow in your walk with God, just go to our website, equip.org. That's equip.org. To contact a resource consultant, call 888-7000-CRI. Again, that's 888-7000-274. Or you can write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded by the Christian Research Institute, a ministry supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because truth matters. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what you'll find in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Director Peter Jackson is making not one, but three films based on The Hobbit, J.R.R. Tolkien's classic prequel to The Lord of the Rings. If, as Tolkien's son Christopher accuses, Jackson is commercializing the story, it would reek with irony, because The Hobbit is above all a story about greed and the overcoming of greed. Other topics include the troubling truth about Bonhoeffer's theology, Prometheus, finding God in outer space, communicating truth through humor, ridicule, and emotions, the popular Ask Hank column, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. Are you the product of millions of years of unguided, purposeless, natural processes? Or are you created in the image of a loving God? Faced with the overwhelming scorn of evolutionary proselytizers, it can be hard to articulate the truth about God's creative work. And even among faithful Christians, many misconceptions linger. The Creation Answer book by Hank Hanegraaff puts answers to the most hotly debated origins questions right at your fingertips, giving you clarity and understanding. Learn to articulate the truth about our origins clearly and compassionately when you request your copy of the Creation Answer book. Now the Creation Answer book is available in an unabridged audiobook format.
So order your copy of the Creation Answer Book on audio CD today by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org.